COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 273. Okay, I love this one. It's just titled Story. Hello, I just wanted to share one of my ghost stories with you. I grew up in a haunted house and have had a lot of interactions with the otherworldly. If you like this one, let me know. I have more. I can already tell we want more. The story I wanted to share today starts when I was six. My parents bought a house in a small coastal town north of Boston. Me and my sisters were excited to be leaving the city and to have our own yard and a big place to live. The first time I walked into the house, I noticed a shadow standing in the corner of the dining room. It was plain as day to me, but everyone else seemed to not be reacting to it, so I didn't either. It didn't scare me, so I just kind of took it in stride. Throughout the next decade or so, I would see it, always in the same place, periodically. It was a shadow man dressed all in black with a black hat with a wide brim. One night when I was older, probably about 16 or so, I was using the Ouija board with my 12-year-old sister. We kept asking questions, but we weren't getting much. Finally, my sister blurted out, "I know. Let's ask it about the man in black who stands in the corner of the dining room." I was shocked. I said, "Oh my God, you see him too?" She said, "Yeah, he's always there." So we asked the Ouija board who he was, and fast as lightning, our fingers could barely keep up with it, it started spelling out a good Christian named Bob. We asked why he was there, and it said, "For the love of a sister." That was all we could get out of it, but from then on, we just referred to our dining room lurker as Bob. Other people saw him too. One time, I had a new friend over, and as soon as we settled down, she said, "What or who in the actual fuck is that shadow in your dining room?" I said, "Oh, that's just Bob. He's fine." When I was babysitting once, I brought the little girl I was watching to my house and gave her some crayons. When I peeked in at what she was doing, I saw she had drawn the man in all black with a black wide-brimmed hat. I asked her, "What are you drawing?" She said, "The man in the dining room." That went on for a while. More people saw him. My dad thought we were nuts and didn't believe a word of it. Until I moved out. The first night my parents were empty nesters, he called me the next morning. My dad said, "What did that man in the dining room look like?" I described Bob to him. He told me that he woke up to Bob standing in their bedroom. It was a long time ago, and according to my parents, Bob still shows up in their bedroom from time to time. I was never afraid of him. It never occurred to me to be. One day, years later, I was in the public library of my town. I was looking through the new book section when a book literally fell off the shelf above me and hit me in the head. I picked it up. It was an autobiography of a psychic medium who lives in New Hampshire. I figured if the book was going to fling itself at me, I might as well read it. So I took it out, brought it home, and started reading. To my absolute astonishment, the book starts with the woman psychic as a young girl having a shadow in her room who looked exactly like Bob, only Bob had red eyes and scared her. She went on to say that shadow people are all over the world and many people have seen them. I was floored. I did a Google search, and sure enough, all kinds of stories about shadow people, some scary, some not. But most of them seemed to look just like Bob. I'm not sure what shadow people are. Some people think they're evil spirits. Some people seem to think they're watchers from another reality or dimension. I have no idea. But I do know they are real. One article I read about them says that they often show up in households where there's a lot of stress and children are stressed out. That was certainly true in my house. We did go on to have a poltergeist for a few years. By then, I was in my late teens and in college. The poltergeist in my parents' house was the least of my problems, so I didn't pay much attention. I don't know what I think about what they are, but I do know that I don't see Bob when I go to my parents' house anymore. He seems to have moved upstairs to their bedroom and only bothers them now. That's all I have for now. Let me know if you want the poltergeist story, and I have a few more. There were some other ghosts that lived in that house. Thank you guys for all you do. I love listening to you. Creep it real, Tina. Okay, first of all, I fucking love all the areas surrounding Boston. Salem, Danvers, Peabody, all those places. They're my favorite. And I got so excited because I was like, oh, this is going to be good up in that fucking area. And when I lived there too, I was like, you know, I lived there for 4 months. In case you don't know my whole life story, I ended up staying in this house that was like 100, I think, years old. And it was like a big house that they had made into four apartments. My apartment, of course, had access to the basement because that's where like the laundry and all that was.
Of course.
And I was so scared that it was going to be haunted, but it wasn't, like, or that I never saw anything.
Yeah.
But like, I expect all those places to be haunted and it wasn't, you know?
Yeah. I love that Bob was a long-winded person like me. Like, instead of just saying Bob, he had to tell you all about himself.
He did. Like, he's a fine Christian man, Bob.
A good Christian man. I wish when that girl, like your friend, was like, who is that in the corner? And you've been like, a good Christian man named Bob.
Yes.
He's here for the love of his sister. That's Bob, but he's a good Christian man. Don't be scared of him. Oh, gosh. Look, I want to meet a man real bad, but I do not want to meet the Hat Man.
No. Well, before we get into the next story, we got to talk about Lumi because it is swampy season. The undercarriage, the underboobs, any roll, fold, anything you got, it is swamp season. And we are hot.
But even if we're hot, we don't want to be stinky.
We don't want to be stinky. We don't want to be sticky. And we don't want to sweat. And Lumi is going to stop that because Lumi is a whole body deodorant that is formulated for all the places that I just said. But even better, y'all, we asked for it and Lumi delivered. They now have a new product formulated to keep you not only smelling fresh, but to help you stay drier. The Lumi Whole Body Deodorant Plus Sweat Control gives you the exact same 72-hour odor control plus 72-hour sweat control.
Okay, and when she said we, I mean, it was us, but it wasn't only us. It was the royal we.
For sure.
But we definitely wanted it. And like Carrie said, it's summer down here in the South, so we definitely need it. And if you know anything about me, you know I like one scent in particular. What is it, Carrie?
Toasted coconut.
Exactly.
But Lumi offers many different scents, but also unscented. So if you're like, look, I just don't want to stink, but I don't want to smell like anything, get the unscented because that's what I have and I love it. Well, I have a lot of different scents and of their products, but I really do think I like the unscented the best because, you know, sometimes you want to wear your regular perfume, but you also don't want to stink. So that's perfect.
Well, like the toasted coconut, because I love it so much, it just fits in with my other scents.
Correct.
So it just plays off of it.
But Lumi offers other products than just stick deodorant. They have wipes, they have body washes, cream tube deodorants, and other things to try out. So if you're like, man, I don't really know what I want to try. I kind of want to try it all. Well, Lumi Starter Pack is literally perfect for you because it comes with that solid stick deodorant, the cream tube deodorant, and two products of your choice. So you could maybe try the body wash or the deodorant wipes. So whether you're a clean tangerine person, lavender sage, toasted coconut, or no scent at all, they've got something for you.
And they've got you covered from your head to your toes, literally.
Like Donna said, like actually literally, because Lumi is pH balanced, so you know that it is safe to use below the belt. Because when we say it's safe to use everywhere, we mean on the outside, obviously. Don't ingest it. But your bits, your tits, your lips.
Both sets.
Any set. I don't know why your top lips would sweat, but I mean, you know, whatever you need, man.
I don't know about the top, but the top of, upper lip.
Yeah, but your actual lips aren't sweating.
But the upper lip.
The upper lip be sweating. Mm-hmm.
I got a sweat mustache going on.
And we big girls. We got folds. Thigh folds, belly folds, back folds. And sometimes you need a little help there. So y'all got to try Lumi deodorant and don't just take our word for it. Because right now, Lumi has a special deal for all new customers. Right now, you can get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code at lumideodorant.com and use the promo code CREEP.
That's L-U-M-E DeoDorant.com. And the code is CREEP for 15% off all Lumi products.
So whether you're trying the starter pack or you just want to try one thing, all new customers getting 15% off at LumiDeodorant.com/creep. Okay, so really quick, back to the first story. I want to know where that house was. The house where I stayed was in Rowley, and I would just drive to Salem because it was way cheaper. It was right next to a nursing home and on this like huge horse farm. It was so freaking nice. That was back when I smoked too, and I was like trying to hide it, like standing in the parking lot, like, am I going to get in trouble because I'm smoking out here?
Okay, the next one. Hauntings, true crime-ish, and a whole lot of what the fuck. Hey, Donna and Carrie, my name is Stephanie, a Californian creepster who has been obsessed with your podcast since the moment I pressed play. I had finished listening to all the episodes in like 2021 and actually restarted the podcast from episode one because I was too broke for Patreon and could not handle waiting every week for a new episode. On to my stories. I've always been a sensitive girl, both emotionally and spiritually. I've seen the figures of my parents leave my room when they were fast asleep, astral projected in my dreams, seeing my own sleeping body from above. Heard the sounds of my dad coming home, keys and all, with no one actually there when I go to investigate. But there was one night in my house that still gives me the heebie-jeebies. This event was the culmination of a time where the activity continually increased and my mental health decreased. One night, I felt a hand caress my head and comb their fingers through my hair. It felt airy, and the worst part was I felt the hand before I was fully awake. And I know it was not sleep paralysis because I woke up instantly with a racing heart and shaky breath. It felt so disgusting to have something that is not there touch my hair. The activity stopped after I flooded my room with holy water and things were going pretty well until June 2023, when I saw a hearse on the freeway, which would not be so creepy if my birthday hadn't been on the license plate. I thought it was a funny story to tell until the next week, June 26, 2023, 4 days before my birthday. I was driving to see my psychiatrist for our first and last in-person visit 40 miles from home. It was 9 a.m, sunny, and I had your podcast playing while I made my way to Waldemar, California. 10 minutes before I would arrive at my destination, I was rear-ended by a white truck going what the police officer later said was 90 miles an hour. He rear-ended me on the right side of the bumper, causing my car to spin twice. And in that moment, I closed my eyes and froze as my car spun. I thought I would hit another car since it was busy, but the first of many miracles that day happened. I spun and ended up reversing into the dirt and grass on the right shoulder, which was another miracle. There should have been a concrete wall there, but it was just a patch of grass. I finally opened my eyes, put my foot on the brake, and parked the car. The APC podcast still playing in the background. Adrenaline took over as I shook my head and tried to find my phone, which had flew off the mount in the car. I was desperately searching for my phone to call the police as the driver took off after seeing me get out of the car. The next miracle happened then as someone on the road called 911 and reported the license plate. I was circling my car trying to find my phone, wailing as my car was totaled, and I was 40 miles from home in a place I had never seen before. The next miracle happened as a car pulled over to where I was. It was a trauma nurse who had just gotten off his shift and was heading home when he saw me. He made sure I had no injuries, called the police for me, helped me find my phone, and waited with me while the police and the tow truck came. Even the tow truck guy was an angel because he got my iced matcha latte from the car while he drove me to the tow yard. He talked to me about his girlfriend and took my mind off of everything I would have to face when we got there. They never did find the guy who hit me, but I'm so grateful for every single miracle that took place and every single angel who guided me while I was experiencing the worst and most traumatic event of my life. I totaled my first car and it took months before I could drive again without freaking out. I also didn't go out on my birthday because I was not about to take the signs that the universe gave me and taunt it. I think the biggest miracle of all was my decision to not take my dog Poppy with me on that drive, because I truly almost did, and she would not have made it with how damaged the back seat and the trunk were. Anyway, this is probably already long, but I have way more stories like my mom and my aunt contacting a witch to help my grandpa stop drinking, my 50-year-old stalker, I'm 25 in June, my brother almost dying the same summer that I got rear-ended, and a guy threatening me with a pocket knife at my grocery store job. If someone's curious, I'm writing this on March the 2nd. Thank you for creating the best podcast and community I have ever had the pleasure of listening to and being a part of. Creeping It Real, Stephanie S.
Yeah, you don't think about how dangerous car crashes are for puppies.
Don't even talk about that. Oh, but yes. And I cannot even imagine what you went through, because I've just hydroplaned and it felt like I was going so fast, but so slow at the same time. And I remember being like, I'm going to hit that mailbox. I'm flying through the air. I'm going to, you know, like, and it was just so scary. So for you to be hit by another truck that was going that fast, oh, and like you said, in a place that you didn't know, that's a lot.
Well, you remember we totaled my first car too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did. Donna was with me. Kid pulled out in front of me at like a flashing stoplight, because back then our town like completely shut down at like 9 p.m. And so he was like a teenager. I mean, we were sophomores in college. He didn't see me and he pulled out. And so I T-boned him. And that was scary.
It was. We probably should have went to the hospital just to check out.
Nah.
But Carrie went to her house after that. I stayed at the
dorm.
The dorm by myself. And because I had to turn in a paper the next day, and walking across campus, because I had a really bad bruise from the seatbelt. And like, I felt like I was walking slower, way slower than I normally do, but like every step hurt and just everything was so like stove up. And I was like, y'all don't even know what I went through. But I mean, it was a bad wreck, but not a bad wreck.
No, you know? We were only going like 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
This was like 90.
Right. So that's what I mean. Like, I can't even imagine.
Plus, it's like, you motherfucker, you hit me and now my insurance has to go up because I got to do a fucking uninsured motorist.
Uh-huh.
Shithead. Okay, the next one. Sinister Sightings Down Under Edition. Donna's getting all hot and heavy wanting to say something about Thunder Down Under, aren't you?
No. I was just going to say, my Down Under is a Sinister Sightings.
Lots of bats and cobwebs. All right. Hello, Donna and Carrie, and all you amazing creepsters out there. This is my absolute favorite podcast, and I've been listening to you both for years. You've helped me through some really hard times. I have mostly lived in big cities, but for the last few years, I've been living in a teeny tiny town that has one traffic light and just above 1,500 people. Needless to say, it's incredibly isolating. The nearest grocery store is about 40 minutes away, and the rest of civilization is an hour to 2 hour drive away. So listening to your podcast has made me feel less lonely, since it's been impossible to make any friends here. I really relate to you both, since I turned 38 and am married but also have no kids. My husband is the reason why I live in one of those towns where the locals, when meeting us, always ask, why the hell did you move here? How did you end up here? The good news is we're finally moving yet again. So while I won't be as isolated, you better believe I'll still be listening to this podcast. I mostly want to stay anonymous because my life and my name is so unique that anyone I know that hears this will probably know who I am. You can refer to me as Shazam, though, an actual nickname I had in high school. Anyhow, my story happened in Australia in my family home. I'm very much into the paranormal and spirituality, but I'm also very into science, and that makes me quite a skeptic. But a lot of things that happened in my childhood home were hard to ignore. It's hard to tell when the activity started or if it was always present in our house, because while my parents were still married and my dad was living in our house, we didn't notice anything. My dad was a very emotionally, verbally, and physically abusive man. It was mostly directed towards my mom, but my brothers really suffered a lot of his brutality, and so did I. While my dad was in the house, we honestly could have had a bloody poltergeist in the home and we wouldn't have noticed, because that's how awful it was with him there. Once my parents finally divorced and my dad moved out, I started becoming aware of all the strange activity in our home. The way our house was set up meant that you would pull in and park adjacent to the home, then have to walk through a gravel pathway to the back of the house and unlock a sliding glass door to enter the home. We would never enter through the front door, which is weird, and I couldn't tell you why. but it's a very distinctive sound to hear a car pull up and someone walk through the gravel. There were lots of times after school where my little sister and I would be home alone, hanging out in our living room, and hear that distinctive sound of a car pulling up, someone walking through the gravel, and opening the sliding glass door. Just to clarify, in the living room, you had no view of the outside car park or entryway, so we couldn't ever actually see if anyone came home and walked in. Anyway, it was so real that we would either just be super lazy and yell out, "Mom, is that you? Did you bring food?" Or one of us would walk to the entryway fully expecting to see our mom or older brother. So many times we would hear that only to see no one was home. When we would even go as far as to walk outside to check if a car had pulled in, and it hadn't. This would scare my sister and I so much that we'd call our mom at work and ask if she came home, then left for some reason. She would always say that she hadn't come home yet and neither had my brother. The other thing that would happen is we would be home alone watching TV and our cat would just sit and stare at one corner of the room that was completely empty, then suddenly get scared and want to be let out of the house and refuse to come back inside. When our cat did that, it would look like he was looking up at someone standing there and even turn its head like it was watching the person walk away. That would freak me and my sister out so much that we would leave the house and sit and wait outside for our mom to come home. So if this wasn't bad enough because I'm an 80s baby, I was in high school when lots of shows like Buffy, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Charmed, and the movie The Craft came out. So doing things like going in the woods and pretending you're in a coven of witches was pretty much how I spent my high school years. One day, one of the girls in our group had heard of a, quote, game to play where you stand in the circle and each hold a pencil or a stick in each hand, with the end of each stick touching the next one. I'm not sure what this is called exactly or if anyone knows what I'm talking about, but basically a group of people are holding sticks to create a circle while you try to talk to spirits by asking yes or no questions. If it's a yes, the sticks are meant to bend inwards. If it's a no, they either stay as a circle or bend backwards as if they had been bent inwards. That probably makes no sense, but basically think of it as a probably weird Aussie Ouija board type thing where we were talking to spirits. I think we felt the sticks bending and assumed yes or no, but who knows? We were 16 and bored. We also tried free writing where you let the spirit take over and write through you. Anyhow, after we tried this Bogan BTW is the Aussie equivalent of hillbilly or redneck Ouija board, the activity in our home got much worse. There were a few nights where we would wake up to witness very creepy things that scared me so much, I would be trying to scream and nothing would come out. One night I woke up to see my desk chair, which was a basic four-legged chair, not one with wheels, rocking back and forth as though someone were sitting at my desk and just tilting it back and rocking on it. It was so real and was so close to my bed that I was terrified. I would just watch in horror, wondering if I was still half asleep or imagining it and trying desperately to call for my mom, but being too terrified to make any sound to come out. Another night I watched as the framed picture fell from a top shelf, which since it was a thin shelf, I didn't think much of, but then continued to watch as it fell to the shelf below it, which is about a foot wide, slide out and fall onto the table below. It was so creepy, but I tried to just explain it as things fall sometimes in a perfectly explainable way. But the way it slid off the middle shelf that was wide enough for a small picture frame to fall and not go anywhere, but instead slide off the edge to the table below was hard to ignore. I was not religious, but I watched a movie where it says the Lord's Prayer helped keep the character safe, not sure which one, but I started doing that and the activity calmed down and then turned into something different. I no longer saw creepy stuff, but more apparitions. The most notable was the night I woke up to see a lady just standing in my doorway, leaning against it like a mother would just checking in on their kids with their head tilted slightly and holding a coffee mug. The lady was not scary or in Victorian era clothing. This lady looked fairly modern and in her late 30s and was wearing a white terry cloth bathrobe. It didn't feel sinister or scary, and part of me woke up just assuming it must be my mom, even though this lady looked nothing like her, and my mom didn't own or ever wear a white bathrobe. But I just lay there and thought to myself, what a weirdo, and then went back to bed. The next morning, I asked my mom why she was up and staring at me, and if she couldn't sleep, and she just looked at me like I had two heads, and said she was fast asleep all night. I actually got annoyed with her and demanded that she tell me why she was up, and she insisted she never got up. None of us sleepwalk, by the way. After this incident, I didn't see her very much, and it kind of felt like she came and showed herself that way to me that she wasn't meaning any harm and that maybe she realized the other activity was scaring me. The only thing I saw after this were figures, mostly in my mom's room. My mom was going through a really rough time with her divorce, and she is very spiritual and believes in angels. I would always see these apparitions in her room as calm and almost glowing forms, and it was never scary to me. The current house I live in the States was previously unoccupied for 5 years. There's some weird activity in this house, and even my 100% skeptical husband calls our, quote, ghosts. We don't know if it's anything or if the weird stuff is due to our house being super old, and we also live in the mountains and on a hill. We keep joking that all of the houses are slowly sliding down the hill, and that if you put a ball down in our home, it will just slide to one corner. But weird things like items being moved constantly occur. And one day, my laundry hamper was thrown off my dryer, but I assumed it was because my dryer was on at the time. It's one of those modern fancy dryers, though, that doesn't shake the house like an 80s dryer does. It's never happened before or since. I've even tried to recreate its happenings by putting the hamper right on the edge of the dryer, so when it's on, to see if it falls off, and it never does. So the jury's still out on that one, but every evening, my husband and I hear floorboards creaking or things shifting in the kitchen. I'm going to chalk it up to being an old house, though, that is probably sliding down a hill in a holler. That sounds like a country song. But of the many houses I've lived in, and as someone that travels around quite a lot and has lived in 4 different countries, these are the only 2 homes I've ever experienced activity in. Anywho, I hope that wasn't too long. I've been wanting to write in my story for ages, but I'm very introverted and felt like my story wasn't really worth sharing. I hope it didn't sound too confusing. The timeline events is just hard to pin down, and the activity was somehow scattered yet consistent, so I wasn't sure if it felt too all over the place. But either way, I wanted to share with you and hope you enjoyed it. BTW, it's March 1st, 2024 when I'm emailing this. Also, can I ask each of you what your favorite memory is of the other as friends? Like a really memorable moment. Random, I know, but if you don't have the time to answer on the episode, no worries. Thank you and love you both. Shazam. No, your story was great.
Yeah. Also, I was thinking that you were talking about Charlie with the pencils and stuff, but then I think y'all were just making like homemade dowsing rods, basically.
Yeah. I know. At first, I was thinking that the pencils were like end to end, like of each person making a circle. But I see what you're saying with dowsing rods, but I thought they were holding them like.
No, they are. So like the end was touching this end.
Okay.
Too. But like, so if it pointed in.
Okay.
It was that way.
Also, we say end and in the same way, so that's probably also very confusing with our fucking accents. E-N-D and I-N sound exactly the same. End and in?
Yeah, end and in.
Well, you said it clearly then.
Oh.
Yeah, end and in. Okay, favorite? God, I don't know. There's a couple. I do distinctly remember when her brother and my sister were in 8th grade. He was playing football, and my sister was a cheerleader. And Donna was supposed to be sick. And like, I remember this outfit and us running up and down the bleachers together playing.
Well, so Carrie was running. I was doing like a one leg go, because I was still short then.
They still are. So we would have been, if they were in 8th grade, we would have been in 4th grade.
Yeah.
And I had on a Bugs Bunny t-shirt that had Bugs Bunny and Tasmanian Devil and like exactly what you picture of 90s gear with like a basketball jersey. Like baggy pants and like a backwards baseball cap. And the front of the shirt was their fronts and the back of the shirt was their back.
It was so cool.
It was such a 90s shirt. But that I remember, of course, the first night Colby came over and her farting.
Keep going. I like this.
I do. There's a couple of times, like I remember us being so drunk one time we were crawling at your house, their old house on West 8.
Oh, God.
Like I literally remember crawling. We were so shit faced. Meanwhile, we were like in high school, like legitimate because because you moved out of that house our senior year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good times. I don't know. I remember we just always like stayed at home on the weekends and we would always argue about what to eat on Sundays for lunch. And we would never come up with something. But we'd finally settle on this one place after, you know, 2 hours of being like, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And it was always this one place we would settle on that's closed on Sundays. And we'd
not like, Chick-fil-A.
No, we'd be like, damn it. And we'd have to like start all over. but neither one of us wanted to call anywhere. Neither one of us wanted to get a shower, so we didn't want to walk in anywhere. And at the time, I drove the car that the window didn't roll down all the way. It only rolled down halfway, so we couldn't go through a drive-thru because you have to, like, tilt the cup to bring it in.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite memories with you.
It was a Sunday, and you made me go to McDonald's.
Yeah, but when you did your arm.
Yeah, I held onto the steering wheel to turn and reach to twist the cup through said window and accidentally honked the horn with my forearm. It was fucking embarrassing.
And she still does that.
Yeah, all the time. I honk my horn on accident all the time. It's so embarrassing. Oh, and second grade, Donna and Carrie, I distinctly remember this bitch always got to wear shorts to school. And it was kind of chilly. And I distinctly remember telling my mom that I wanted to wear shorts and her saying it's too cold and me being like, but Donna gets to wear shorts.
Okay. Carrie was always driving because I didn't have a car or my license till I was a junior in college.
Yeah.
One time she was coming from my house and we were going somewhere and I had told her, don't worry about the mail. And she was like, no. Because imagine that. She was like, no, I'm getting this mail. And I was like, no, don't worry about it. Well, she did. And so she handed it to me and I put it on my belly because, of course, that's my table. And about that time,
down the road at like 45 miles an hour. This is a winding country road.
I saw that there was a lizard on there. I had camouflaged itself on the thing and I jumped out of her car.
Legit. She was like, flung it. Was like, it's a lizard. And so I like start to slow down to pull over. And she literally leaps out of my moving. Did I have the SUV at the time?
Yeah.
Leaps
the
out of
runner.
Leaps out of the vehicle.
But I have to leap into anyway.
Oh, God.
And then we went to Dollar General and this lady
stopped this random lady. Was like, I literally said, are you scared of lizards? She said, no. I was like, because I have one in my car. Can you get it out?
And this is like only a couple of years ago.
Like legit, if I had my 4Runner, I bought it in 2014.
Yeah.
That tells you, like I was in grad school when this happened.
But lizards were so bad in that mailbox. And I was like, don't worry about it. Don't get it.
It was literally all junk mail. Like, why did I have to get the mail?
Don't know.
God, I forgot about that story.
But that one. And then also one time we were going to do something because we used to have this t-shirt company. And we were going down to her aunt's house, and we had gotten Sonic.
Yes.
And she was driving.
Imagine that.
Not well. And she was running off the road, and I said, Carrie.
Like, that's exactly how she said. And I, like, ran off the road. Like, I don't know how to, like, take out a mailbox. And, like, it was like a big dip.
It was. Like, it was like Carrie. It was like my life was flashing before my eyes, and it was
but
just
like slowly and with vibrato.
Yeah, it was like I was Eeyore though. Like I couldn't say anything but that.
Oh God, good times.
Also, there's one time with Tiffany too, because I used to have this digital camera that it was so old that you took a floppy disk. Like that's what it was. And we were making videos and Carrie sang Sin Wagon by the Dixie Chicks. And,
just the chicks now.
Oh, yeah. Just the chicks.
To random people online.
No.
You did make me do that one time.
Oh, yeah. I did. Well, I didn't make her. I just
yes,
said,
she did.
Oh, my God. Yes. You should sing it. And you
I
know,
can't
I'm a
sing,
hype
y'all.
Girl.
Yeah. I can't sing, y'all.
Random people in Yahoo
and
chat.
And they're like, wow, you're so good. No, and they were like, the fuck?
But anyway, yeah. I just love those moments.
I thought you were going to say about the time we were at the park and I tried dancing on the table and I hit my head on the light.
Yeah. So I had this guy that I met randomly on one of those things I told y'all about that I had to leave a voicemail. He was way too old for me. All the
Yeah.
Things.
Looking back, it's very toxic.
Very bad.
Yeah.
But Carrie cannot not be the person who the guy likes.
But yet they never like me. Like, why did I peacock like that? Like, ma'am, literally in this case, sit down.
But we were walking because who knows? Like, it was at the park. Yeah. And Carrie got up on this table.
This like picnic
she,
table. Like
she was going, dance.
Fucking old Coyote Ugly. Danced and hit my head on the goddamn light. How embarrassing. Why am I like this? Oh, God.
And he was not one to.
No, that was not impressive to anybody.
But I mean, like, he wasn't one that you would want to impress anyway.
No, but like, girl, sit the fuck down.
Oh, gosh.
God, Pastor Kerry was way more annoying than I am now. I mean, I still am, but like back then, whoo, girl.
Well, that turned into our own sinister sightings. I know you didn't ask really about this, but one of my favorite times with Tiff, we were going to see Kerry, and it was my first time really driving anywhere like major. And we're going into Houston. And if you've ever been to Houston, coming from a place where I could jump out of Carrie's car with the lizard being there, to like a, you know, six lane traffics, like all the things. And we used to play punch bug, like with the Beetle cars, like the VW Beetles. And I am like white knuckling the steering wheel, like never have driven in this kind of traffic. And Tiffany said, Donna, I know it's not the best time, but there's a punch bug over there. And it was like, not right now, like because I was trying to figure out where to merge. But my GPS, which was like a Garmin that you put, you know, like,
right.
It was like our phones didn't even have GPS at the time and stuff, you know, but I was just like trying to figure fucking everything out. And I was like, not right now. Okay, so now to the next story. This is the man in my son's window. Hello, spooky chicks. I wish to remain anonymous, please, but you can refer to me as Rose. Rose Nylon, that is. My ex-husband and I lived in Paris, California, in a beautiful two-story house that had two master bedrooms. It was 2010-2011. Mine and my ex-husband's bedroom was the only bedroom downstairs, and the other three were upstairs. There was also a loft. My mom would come and stay with us often, helping out with the kids and such, and she would stay in the second master that was upstairs. She told me that she would hear things at night and sometimes during the day. She told me about a time that she was in the shower and thought she heard my dad open the cabinet under the sink, only to realize he was downstairs. I would hear what sounded like walking above us when we were in our bedroom downstairs, but there wasn't a room above ours. I would see things out of the corner of my eye rush past the stairs heading to the second floor. Always just brush these things off. Then one night when my son was asleep in the bed upstairs and my ex and I were in bed with our cat at the foot of the bed, I heard one of my son's toys fall down and I could hear it rolling for at least 20 seconds. I woke my ex up and I asked him if he heard it and he said, yeah, it's probably the cat. I pointed to the cat to show him, no, she's right there. So we both get up and check, and my son's little t-ball set had fallen over and the bat and ball had rolled directly to the center of the room. Again, we just ignored it. Then a month or so later, I hear my son, who's about 2 years old, crying in the middle of the night. He had always been such a good sleeper, never cried at night, never came to our bed, and always slept through the night. At first, I thought he would go back to sleep, but he didn't. I ended up going up to his room and he was standing on his bed crying and pointing at the window. Mind you, this window has a straight drop down on the outside. After I calmed him down, he said he saw a man coming through his window and he had one leg inside. I figured it was a nightmare. I sat down on the rocking chair with him and tried rocking him back to sleep. The only light we had was a dim nightlight. As I was rocking him, all of a sudden the room slowly got darker, like the darkness was coming from all sides and corners of the room. My eyes kept going to his closet, which looked pitch black inside. I immediately got goosebumps all over my body. My son had his eyes closed tight. I started to panic and realized my son wasn't dreaming. There was something bad in there. The feeling that I got if I didn't leave that room was that whatever or whoever that was in there was going to hurt us. I quickly jumped up with my son in my arms and left that room as quickly as possible, and my son slept with me that night. After that incident, there wasn't any other activity that I was aware of. Love you, girls. You crack me up, and I love the spooky stories. Thank you, Rose. Well, yeah, because it's always easy to say, like, well, it's just this, or, oh, it's just that, especially if you have an animal. And especially a cat, because you know they're going to mess with stuff. I just showed Kerry a TikTok where a cat was like messing with the blinds and the guy was like, no, they're going up. And the cat was like, no, they're going down. Mm-hmm.
But kids just see stuff, man.
Mm-hmm. But also, like, you knew that it wasn't possible that a person could be at that window.
Right.
But with him saying, like, he had one leg in, oh, that's terrifying.
That's so scary.
Okay. Real quick, I'm so sorry. I just thought about this one other time that was so freaking funny. Carrie was living in Houston, but she came back for Halloween, or like she came back and it was around Halloween. My mom was always our designated driver. And so we had all been at a party. We were Clue characters, like the most like
basic,
not even Walmart brand of Clue characters. Okay. Mm-hmm. My mom and my dad had came and got us. Well, me, Tiffany, and Carrie were sitting in the back seat and we took Carrie home. But of course, Carrie left her phone
because I had on, it was freezing. So I had to go because I was going to wear your black dress.
Uh-huh.
But it was freezing and it wasn't supposed to be. So I had to go to Walmart and buy leggings and a long sleeve undershirt.
Uh-huh.
So when I got out of the car, I had to give you your dress back because I was going back to Houston. I wouldn't see you again. So to give you your dress back, so I put my phone on the top of the car to take the dress off and hand it to you.
But she didn't remember that she had put the...
Well, I was shit-faced.
And we get out of her parents' subdivision and onto the highway, and we hear something, and you called, didn't
you? Yeah, because I was going to call you, but you had just changed your phone number.
Yeah.
So I was like, motherfucker. And so then I had to remember Tiffany's number. Thank God Tiffany hadn't changed her number on the house phone. I used that to call y'all and be like, I left my phone on the roof.
Yeah. And my poor dad had to get out because, again, we're drunk too. So like nothing is, I mean, it's cracking us up. We can't see anything. And you know, when I smile and laugh, like my eyes close. But my dad is like looking around, not even understanding what we're trying to tell him too.
He found everything.
But he did. He found everything.
The battery, the SIM card. Because like, just find the SIM card. Just find the SIM card. But he did. This was, I didn't even have an iPhone. I had like a fake, it was like a fake BlackBerry looking phone. It like wasn't even, like that's how long it was. I was living in Houston. This was probably 2009.
Wild. God. But I just remembered that. Like, oh God.
All right. The next one. Hello, my ladies. It's your friend, Sydney in Alabama again. I think it's time I wrote in with another haunted hotel story. This one comes from Mobile, Alabama, and is a known haunted hotel. The Malaga Inn was built around 1862 as twin townhomes by brother-in-laws for their wives who were sisters. They were sold several times before eventually being bought by the now owner's family sometime in the 60s and added onto. They constructed a three-story addition to connect two homes and turn it into the inn it is today. Gorgeous courtyard in the middle with a fountain and gardens with tables and chairs to enjoy. I booked a room for one night and my friend came to stay with me so we could eat too much and watch movies. The same friend that I was messaging in my last story about the ghost who felt me up. So we checked in and ended up being on the first floor right beside the courtyard. A beautiful room with antique furniture and squeaky old hardwood floors. I won't lie, I think we both hoped something paranormal would happen after all the stories we'd heard about the place, dating back generations. Y'all should know that this place has a history of flickering lights and various things being unplugged from the walls. Nearly the entire time we were there, the lamp on my side of the room would flicker about every 20 minutes or so. I thought maybe the bulb was loose, so I tightened it. No dice. Still flickered at those intervals. At some point, I needed to charge my phone, so I started looking for one of the ancient outlets. Under the bedside table, I found one and noticed that the phone was unplugged from the telephone line. I plugged it back in, but it didn't have a dial tone. Sorry for the younger listeners who have no idea what that is. I figured maybe it was just a little detail forgot by the housekeeper since no one used landlines anymore. Fast forward to the middle of the night, I kept hearing the grate in the floor creaking on my side of the room. It happened three or four times right next to the bed. Old building settling, right? Well, we checked it out the next morning, and after we loaded the car, I went back into the lobby. I told the lady at the front desk the room number, that the lamp was flickering, and that the phone was unplugged. Her eyes got wide for a second, and she said, oh, I'm sure it was just a loose bulb and maybe some faulty lines. Happens all the time. What do you think? Just happenstance or something else going on? I felt something in that room that night. Not necessarily anything malevolent, but definitely something. That's all for now, y'all. Until next time, love, your Alabama girl, Sydney.
Hey, girl, hey. I'm not on Tinder anymore, so we don't have the same matches anymore.
Right. I was going to say, this is your girl from Y'all had the same Tinder matches?
Yeah.
I don't know. You could have just been like really hoping for something to happen. And I feel like at those intervals, like it's almost like it was a zoom, zoom, you know, of electricity, like faulty wiring versus like the actual bulb itself.
Right.
But who, what do I fucking know?
Right. What do you know?
Not a whole lot.
But do you know the Muffin Man?
I don't know shit about shit.
Oh, Lord.
The Muffin Man?
Thank you.
We quote the most niche, like, weird kid shit movies. From movies. We do. We quote kid movies all the time. That was from Shrek, if you have no idea what we're talking about.
Oh, gosh. But you know what? You've done the Muffin Man.
Yeah.
That's what she calls Colby. Her stud Muffin Man.
Oh, my God.
Also, though, like how you said, you felt something, but it didn't have to mean that it was, you know, like how Zach Bagans always does. Like, it's a demon. It's evil. It's all of this. You can just feel a presence and, you know, the energy and stuff. It doesn't have to be evil. Okay, the last one. Jennifer Judd. Hi, Carrie and Donna. It's April from Kansas. And again, I think she thought you were going to do it because she put it in parentheses. I've sent paranormal stories in previously, so Carrie, this one's for you. There's not much on this story, but I was a kid when this happened and spent summers at my grandma's house who live near where this takes place. Picture it. Justin Judd married his high school sweetheart, Jennifer Bryan, on May 2nd, 1992. Her dad walked her down the aisle and her sister Amanda stood up with her and her other sister, Kaylani, was the flower girl. This would be one of the last memories Jennifer would make with her family. May 11th, 1992, in a tiny town of Baxter Springs, Kansas, Justin left for his shift at the chemical plant in Riverton. He worked the 6:30 to 2:30 p.m. shift, and this day he reportedly was running late and had forgotten his lunch. He called his wife, Jennifer, between 8:30 and 9 a.m., asking her to take him his lunch. She agreed to be there around 10, but never showed up. Phone logs showed that she had called to make an appointment to tan at 1 p.m. that day, but never showed up for that either. Justin made it home from work around 2:45 that afternoon. His sack lunch was sitting in the passenger seat of Jennifer's car. Inside the house, he found her keys on the floor of the living room. In the kitchen, Justin found his wife of 9 days laying on her back with multiple stab wounds. Jennifer had been stabbed 3 times in the back and 6 in the chest. She had defensive wounds on her hand as well. The attacker had stabbed Jennifer so violently that the handle of the knife had broke off. The knife was from the kitchen. The handle was never found. Justin was cleared as a suspect as he was verified to have been at work at the time of her death. Jeremy Jones, a convicted rapist and murderer, confessed to killing Jennifer, but later recanted. Interestingly, he was born in Miami, Oklahoma, just a short drive from Baxter Springs. He also knew Justin from high school and was in the area at the time of the murder. Authorities could never link him to the case and have never brought charges against him. Jennifer has never gotten justice. She was only 20 years old, literally had gotten married 9 days prior to her death, and never got the chance to live her life, have children, or experience what the world had to offer her. Kansas Bureau of Investigation is offering a reward of $5,000. Thank you for reading my story. You ladies are so awesome and welcoming. I listen to you at work to drown out the loud talkers in the office. Keep it real, but do be scared sometimes because people are capable of terrible things. Much love, April from Kansas.
Oh my God, that is horrible.
So fucking sad.
My heart breaks for her husband.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Well, I mean, I know why. Now that I have found Colby, especially having found him what I feel like is later in life, that when people like find their love and then lose them, like, right after they got married to cancer or like in like this case, it just hits me in a way like I never thought it would. And that story is just freaking heartbreaking. And also, isn't it crazy how you remember those stories, like those local stories from when you were a kid?
Yeah. I mean, we have some here that I remember.
Even just like the national stories, like the JonBenet and all of that, you know, that you remember when you were far too young to know any of that.
Right.
Which is probably why we're all true crime buffs now.
It's so sad that she has never gotten justice.
For her, but also for her family.
Yeah.
Dang, these stories were good. Thank y'all so much for sending them in. We love them. Keep them coming. Send them in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com if you want your story read on an episode. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.
CODA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at CODA.com/service changes. That's CODA.com/service changes.